Nothing beats the feeling of a luxurious towel when you step out of the shower. Wrap yourself in nothing but the best with the MyPillow towel set. Guys, I've got these towels. They're the only ones I order right now. I absolutely love them. They're soft to the touch without any of that lotiony feel. For a limited time, get the MyPillow six-piece towel set regularly $109.99 for only $39.99 right now. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener square. Enter the promo code Carter, that's C-A-R-T-E-R, or call 1-800-685-7221. While you're there, take advantage of the deep discounts on all MyPillow products, including the Giza Dream bed sheets and MyPillow premium pillows. Get your MyPillow six-piece towel set for only $39.99. Only with my promo code, guys, Carter, C-A-R-T-E-R. Call 1-800-685-7221 or visit MyPillow.com today.
This episode of the Sarah Carter Podcast is sponsored by the Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Never forget, join the Tunnel to Towers Foundation on its mission to do good in honor of America's heroes. Donate $11 a month at t2t.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
I'm at the border again, and this time it is just as bad, if not worse, than the previous times I've been here. And I'm going to explain why on this show today. Because it is hotter than heck out here. I can't even begin to tell you how hot. The only critters that are having fun right now in this heat are the crazy fire ants that bit my toes today. But that's it. And usually when it gets this hot, when the humidity is so high, it's over 50%, and you have 111 degree temperatures or over 100, and it just feels like 120, I'm guessing. Usually the flow of people, migrants, illegal immigrants coming across the border slows down. This time it has not. It is not slowing down, which means that all the people coming across the border with their children are dehydrated beyond belief, sick, and some of them very close to death. I'm going to talk about that because that was the show that we recorded and a segment that we had on Sean Hannity, my good friend Sean Hannity's show last night, just to get the truth out there so that you know what's going on here along the border. And I'll fill you in on everything that happened and the woman that we came across. And I'll get you all those details coming up. I also want to talk to you a bit about, and I know this is something that you must be thinking about because I can't stop thinking about it. And it's really frustrating to me. The mask mandates. You do not want to miss what I have to report about the mask mandates, Nancy Pelosi, and this crazy talk coming out of the left to once again lock down our country, mask us up, keep us from each other. I don't know about you, but I'm really getting tired of it. And I really think that the left, as well as the Biden administration, needs to answer our questions. They cannot ignore us. And by the way, they can't ignore the people in the world that are standing up to tyrannical governments like Iran. We're seeing mass protests all across Iran right now. People rising up against their government and saying, no more. I'm not going to put up with this. I mean, this is huge, folks. This is huge. This wave from Iran, which started in the Green Party, remember way back when the Obama administration would not listen to those people who were rising up against the Ayatollahs. Why? Because they wanted to pass the Iran deal. Do you remember that? And remember when Obama basically handed the olive branch to this cultist Iranian government and people died in the streets? Well, the people are not giving up. The people were still there, even if they were silent. They are rising up now, like the Cuban people, like the people where my mother came from, right? We want liberty. We want freedom. That's what people really want. Just go on Twitter. Go on Twitter and look up Iran. Watch all these young, beautiful Iranian women just removing their hijab, not because they want to remove the hijab and just it's because of their hair. It's because of freedom. They do not want to be punished for making their own choices. You can make your own choice, hijab or not. The Iranian women are standing up to the government, the Iranian people, because they want freedom. Well, I want you to follow and subscribe to this podcast, and you can get all the links and also the links to all of either Spotify, Apple, any of the other places where you listen to podcasts at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com, where you can get the latest stories as well. You can see what we're covering. I would also like you to go to thedarkwire.com. That is the foundation that I started. We have such wonderful stories on there. Groundbreaking stories from some brilliant young aspiring journalists and foreign policy thinkers. Please go there to thedarkwire.com. While you are at sarahacarter.com, though, I want you to sign up for my email list. And why? Because I don't want you to be shadow banned. I do not want to not be able to communicate with you. And since they're shadow banning me, since I'm not able to get all of the information out to you, I really need you to go there and sign up for our email list so that you can hear what we're talking about, so that they don't keep us silent. We need to stick together on this, folks. You and I, we're Americans. We need to stick together on this. Another really important issue that I'm going to talk about is it's going to go right into the mask mandate, is what's happening on Capitol Hill. So you're going to want to stay to the end of the show to listen to that, because Nancy Pelosi has completely lost her mind, and she is trying to corner the Republicans and politically, but by using this mask mandate and seizing as much power as she can on Capitol Hill, because that's what she likes to do. Let me talk to you a little bit about AMAC, though. Before I get to the border, you know, there are some companies that sponsor this show that I think are just amazing. Why? Because they put themselves on the line, right, to support and fight for American values. And AMAC does that. It is the Association of Mature American Citizens. AMAC believes in fighting the good fight against reckless government spending and the ever-expanding scope of the federal government, helping small businesses like mine, like yours, securing our borders, supporting our military, and respecting our veterans, standing for the flag and kneeling before God. By joining AMAC, you're taking the first steps to saving the America you love and supporting this show and other podcasts like it. AMAC offers an alternative to just about every benefit that that other group, AARP, offers. But AMAC stands up for your rights and for America's rights. Join AMAC today at amac.us/Carter. That's amac.us/Carter. So, okay. I am in Del Rio right now, but we drove about 5 hours from the McAllen sector in Rio Grande Valley. On the border with Mexico is just a consistent flow of people from all over the world. Whether they are from Guatemala, Honduras, Haiti, parts of Africa, parts of Europe, Romania, the border is wide open. People are showing up. Why? Because the Biden administration policy is a message to the world that we are not going to return anybody home, that this border is wide open, and that you are welcome to come in as long as you can hook up with the right drug cartels and human traffickers. I want you to think about that. Right now, there was a story that came out that shows, and I actually verified this yesterday and the day before. I was so busy talking to Border Patrol agents, that there were 50,000 migrants released without court dates. And actually, my sources in the Border Patrol and throughout the DHS said that's a very low ball number. The number is basically closer to 100,000, because it's not about appearing in court. It's a notice to report. So let me explain this to you. Notice to report means that when they apprehend you, that being the Border Patrol, then you're transferred over to ICE. When you get this notice to report, because they can't hold you, there's not enough space here. There is not enough space here along the border to hold all the people that are crossing. They'll give you this little paper. They'll say notice to report. You say, I'm going to Baltimore. And basically ICE will list the maybe two or three offices that they have in the city of Baltimore, for example. And you're supposed to go there and report yourself to them. Well, that's not going to happen. No one's going to do that. There's a difference between notice to report and notice to appear. A notice to appear means that you have been logged into the system and you're supposed to appear at a court and fight for whatever immigration status you're fighting for, which is usually asylum. Because once somebody applies for asylum, they can't be removed. That's the whole trick of the thing, right? If you apply for asylum and you know the tricks, you know the game, the drug cartels, the human traffickers have already given you that information. You pretty much can say whatever you need. You could say, I'm a political prisoner. I am a prisoner of whatever. My husband's been beating me. For example, another big one is basically saying that, you know, you're gay and you have to stay because in Nicaragua or Guatemala, they don't respect your rights. So it could be anything. I'm just throwing it out there. Just about anything. And then you can stay in the United States. Religious persecution is also another big one. And by the time you make that claim, and because there's so many people to process, they just let you stay. So don't be fooled. Do not be lied to by the federal government or anybody else. The people that are coming across are being released. They are literally being released. When I was down at the border several days ago, we were just heading up to some private property. I hadn't seen my friend Junior in a while. Hi, Junior on Zaldúas. I know you're listening to this podcast. And Junior's great. Junior, actually, I've known him for many, many years, since 2013. And I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go stop by Junior's property. I honestly was not expecting to see anyone at the border. It was just so hot. I mean, I felt dehydrated after 15 to 20 minutes outside of the vehicle. And I was just, I mean, just dripping in sweat. I have this amazing young intern who was with me, shadowing me, Shiva. She was just incredible. She was out there braving the heat of the Rio Grande Valley and also dealing with the bugs and everything else. And she had been with me the night before. We really didn't see a lot of people. And I wasn't expecting to see anyone in this heat. I was so wrong. We drove up that road up to the property along the Rio Grande. This is near Anzaldúas Bridge in McAllen area. I think they call it Gran Genio. And up the road were coming groups of people. I think the first group we saw was about 13 or 14 people with children, severely dehydrated, but they did have some Pedialyte with them for their kids. And they were, so if I sound a little raspy, I've been working off for 3 days now, just so you all know out there what's going on with my voice. And it's been exhausting, but they were tired. They were sick. They were hungry. They wanted some food. They had a cough. They said some of the children had fevers. They weren't feeling that well. And I, you know, could it have been heat stroke? Could it have been COVID? Who knows? I'm not a doctor. And, we were able to get them some water and they were able to complete their journey up to Border Patrol, but not before one of the gentlemen I'd asked, are there any more groups coming up behind you? And one of the gentlemen said, well, there was a lady with us, but she collapsed on the road a mile and a half back. And so they didn't know what had happened to her, but he had a picture of her because he was going to report it. So he showed me the picture. And at that point, Lieutenant Olivares was with us, Chris Olivares, he's with Texas DPS, Department of Public Safety. He and some other folks that were with us took off to go down to the area to see if they could find her. And you guys got to know, this Rio Grande Valley area, it's just brush and bugs and thorns and roads going in every direction. Like it's just like a crapshoot, you know, when you're trying to find someone. And luckily enough, she was on the main road. She wasn't off the road. So that was making it easier for us. So they take off. And then shortly after I finish talking to the group and they leave, we take off to go find her. And I arrive just as the lieutenant and the others have arrived. And this woman is just bleeding profusely from her nose. And it was nonstop. She was severely dehydrated. Her heart rate was extraordinary. I mean, it was moving really, I bet it was around 120. We were trying to time it, but we didn't have a watch on us. But it was just, she was very, very ill. Let's just put it that way. It was very harrowing. It was like a little bit traumatizing because we're in the middle of nowhere. You can't get 911. Right? You can't get 911 on there because every time we dialed 911, no matter who dialed 911, we were getting Mexico's 911 and they couldn't come across the river to help. So we had the Lieutenant Olivares contact Border Patrol. Thank God, a Border Patrol EMT eventually arrived. But I was sitting with this woman, talking with her, trying to calm her down. She had a two-year-old daughter. Shiva was really great. And I mean, here's this young intern. She's helping this little girl and talking to her. The little girl has a cough. You know, her aunt and uncle are there with another small child. And I'm afraid this woman's going to die. And all we can do is sit with her, cool her down, wipe the blood off of her, ensure that she's still conscious, that she's talking, that we can keep her occupied long enough until the EMTs arrive. And, you know, you become so overwhelmed, you kind of forget about yourself. You forget about everything else that's going around you. But it was so important, I think, for that story to reach the American people, because this isn't just about numbers crossing the border. These are people. They're being played as much as we are being played. Isn't like sat around this poor woman from Guatemala or Honduras, isn't sitting around with another group of people planning to, you know, what some people say, invade the United States or whatever. That's not it. They're just trying to find a better life, and they've been lied to. They've been told, well, actually, let's just say they haven't been lied to, because even if the human traffickers and the drug cartels are advertising all over social media that they can come to America and stay, they're actually telling the truth. That's the sad story. The sad story is that the Biden administration has made this possible, that every single one of us is being played and that people are dying because of it. You know, I was talking this morning to Katie Hobbs. Her and her husband are farmers out here in the Del Rio area. And I don't know if y'all remember the story, but it was the story about five young girls in May, a toddler and all, I think all under the age of 12. That were abandoned by a smuggler on a farm. Jimmy Hobbs, Katie's husband, found those kids just by happenstance. Just by happenstance. He was down there checking on his farm, checking on his, you know, his melons, his onions. That's what they grow on their farm. And he found all these little girls who had been abandoned. They were abandoned for over 24 hours in that heat near the Rio Grande Valley alone. Can you imagine? Can you imagine having to be one of the older kids taking care of the baby? Just sitting there all night in the darkness in all those elements with all those animals. I mean, these are human beings. These are children. I don't know if that woman had COVID. She exhibited symptoms of COVID. I've said I've had my COVID vaccine. I've had COVID before. I was willing to sit with her and be there with her because she is a human being and she deserves someone to be with her and to help her child and to comfort her until an EMT arrives. We cannot forget to be human, right? We can't forget that we rely on each other. That's what makes us so wonderful. That's what makes our species so great, is that despite the risks, we care for one another enough that we're willing to put them before us. At least that's the way it should be. And I want you to think about that. You know, I was talking to Katie and her husband are just so frustrated, you know, like all the farmers out here, they don't know what to do. Their farms are being overrun by people. Katie can't even leave her house. She says, I literally have a huge plot of land on the Rio Grande Valley and I can't even ride my horse on it anymore. I can't go further than the 1 acre of property where my house sits. Because I'm scared, because I don't want to run into 60 or 100 men crossing my property. What am I going to do? Even if I have a gun, what am I going to do? And she has a granddaughter that lives with her. What's going to happen then? People, just strangers walking across your land. And what about the people that are dying on the way here? I was just talking to Lieutenant Chris Olivares about this, and he was going through some paperwork. And there was a young girl that fell off of a train the other day. Her leg was run over. It was literally ripped to shreds. The pictures, I saw them. It was ripped to shreds. There is nothing good about what's happening here at the border. nothing good at all. And by the way, the city's overwhelmed with officers from other states that are just trying to help out the Texas Department of Public Safety. You know, those resources are being depleted. Katie's like saying what everybody else here is saying. What if something happens to my family member and I need to call an ambulance and there isn't any available because they're all at the border? What's the federal government going to do for me? What is the state going to do for me? What can we do? This is up to President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, because no matter how hard Governor Greg Abbott tries to lead this fight, which he's doing awesome, by the way, I went out and I saw this amazing fence that he's putting up. But still, though, what is that? That's like a Band-Aid. It's the policy. He's doing everything he can to protect his state. That is his job as governor. Governor Abbott is doing his job. President Biden is not doing his job. The only job that President Biden has to do, the only thing that he is required to do, really required, is to protect the national security interests of the United States of America, and that means its people. And he is not doing that. He is failing at that. The reason why President Trump had America first was because, yes, America first. Then you can take care of everything else. You have to be a beacon of light and a beacon of hope for people, but to do things the right way. Not to have kids falling off of trains and disappearing and their legs being cut off, or have women trying to make it across the border with their babies who may be sick with COVID or God only knows what else, dehydrating. How many people do we not find? We found that woman. Thank God. I think she would have died had we not just by chance been there. But how many children, how many women, how many people, like I found before when we were out here before, have died out in the brush with no one to find them, their families never knowing where they're at, just disappearing? How many people have to end up as slaves in America because the human trafficking organizations are working them here in the United States? How much fentanyl needs to cross the border and kill our children before we wake up and say no more? When does the madness end? It only ends when President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris say it's going to end. Or maybe Susan Rice, right? Because I don't even know if President Biden's really in charge of anything right now. I really, really don't. That's when the madness ends. Okay, so moving on, we are going to be talking about Iran and these massive number of protesters that are out in the streets standing up to the Ayatollah, standing up to the government and just saying, hey, guess what? No more. Maybe we should be standing up and saying no more, right? But these people, the people of Iran, the Iranian people who come from, by the way, one of the most beautiful countries in the world. For many of you who've never seen it or don't know a lot about Iranian history, you should look at it. There's even ski resorts in Iran. It is a beautiful nation filled with resources and great history. It is wonderful, but it is ruled by a cultist, tyrannical regime that has kept their people oppressed since the Shah of Iran. And the people are frustrated. They're tired. There are people actually living under, you know, in secrecy, going to church in Iran, really literally having church services, Christians there in their homes in secret. There are young girls who are running around with red shoes, red pumps as a statement to say, we want to be independent. We want to be free, right? We want freedom. They are taking off their hijabs. They're going on Twitter. They are shouting to the rooftops. But I want you to think about this. America is that beacon of hope, is that beacon of light that other people that live under these crazy regimes or banana republics look to and aspire to be like. And right now, we are flailing. I'm really worried. We're like really fragile right now. I don't know if you're, I don't know if you're feeling it as well, but I sure am. You know, our students I mean, we're seeing now that so many of our young children have been indoctrinated with leftist ideological thinking. It's not even about liberty and freedom anymore. It's about the whole. That's where all this Marxism starts, like what we saw in Cuba. The reason why the Cuban people are uprising, because it doesn't work. It never works. When you take away people's liberties and freedoms, they rise up. They stand up to it eventually. Eventually, it breaks down. You can't have an innovative society when you stifle people. You can't have innovation in a beautiful society of people who are willing to put others before themselves when you're holding them down and oppressing them. When people are oppressed, they will rise up. They will challenge those governments. But they also have to be able to continue to fight those governments. That's what it's all about. The people of Cuba, look at how they're suffering now. They're hungry. When you're hungry, it's almost impossible to really fight back, right? The Cuban government has taken into custody hundreds of people. I would say thousands, based on the sourcing that I'm getting from people in Cuba, based on the sourcing that I'm getting from people here in the United States. They're locking them down. They're jailing them. They're silencing them. It's much like what happens in China and much like what will happen in Iran. And people will die. And people will die. They will stand up to their governments on the streets, and those governments will order either the IRGC, like in Iran, or the plain closed Cuban secret police, like in Cuba, to target the leaders and kill them. I don't know if you all remember during those marches, during the Obama administration, when the Iranians rose up and were saying no more. And it was during the elections, and it was supposed to be the Green Party, and it was supposed to be the Party of Freedom. And young women got out on the streets, and they were marching down the streets. And there was one young lady in particular, and she was killed. And it was videotaped. And she was lying on the streets in, I believe in Qom, but I'm not quite certain. I may be wrong on that. Or maybe it was in Tehran. It was in Tehran, actually. And she was lying on the streets, and she was bleeding out, and she died on the streets. And she became a symbol for the Iranian people and for young Iranian women, that she was willing to give up her own life to stand up for her nation and to fight tyranny. You know, it's difficult for us to grasp what that feels like. I don't know if you remember, and if, I hope you heard this podcast. If you didn't, please go back and listen to it. It was with Felix Rodriguez. And, you know, he said something very important. He was in Cuba. He was the last person to question Che Guevara. He fought for the United States, was a paramilitary officer for the CIA, Cuban-American, and who stood up to Fidel Castro's regime. But he said something that was very important during that podcast. He said, it's really difficult for anyone who hasn't lived in an oppressive regime or a communist regime to imagine what that is like, what you are willing to do to get away from that when your freedom has been taken away. I mean, we just got a little taste of it, and it was for our own good, you know, whatever, CDC, we don't even know yet. We're asking a lot of questions. We got a little taste of, you know, that with COVID, right? I mean, we were on lockdowns. Our children weren't in school. We had to cover our faces. We still do in some federal areas. We'll be talking about Nancy Pelosi's weird mask mandate at the Capitol shortly, but we got a taste of that, what it felt like to be locked down. I mean, suicides were on the rise. Think about it. Children became more addicted. There was a lot of concern that our kids were spending way too much time on the internet, and you know, that's dangerous enough. We weren't having human to human contact. I mean, that was like a year of this, right? And it was detrimental. There were other issues, even to the point where abuse went up in the household. You know, men abusing their wives or children being abused. So there was a lot of negative repercussions. Now imagine living in a communist nation where everything you do is being listened to, where everything you say is being heard, where you're restricted on how much you're going to eat, how much water you're going to use, where you're going to go, who your friends are, where you can't just get on a plane and fly and visit relatives in the United States where they can tell you how many children you can and cannot have, where some people in China were murdering their own babies or being forced to have abortions because the government didn't want them to have those children, where you have to download an app, you know, and allow the government, even if you're a visitor in China, to follow you wherever you go. Imagine living your entire life like that. Imagine how suffocating that would be, how horrible that would be, how you wouldn't even want to get up in the morning after a while, right? What kind of innovation? Would you really want to be like working extra work? There's no overtime. If you're a doctor, you're being paid the same as a janitor. Would you really want that life? Standing in Bernie Sanders bread lines, watching your children go hungry, riding a bicycle to the hospital with like my what happened to my aunt in Cuba who had pneumonia. Her husband had to put her on a bicycle with him. She died on the way to the hospital because she couldn't even get to a hospital because there was no ambulances. Not really. There wasn't enough. Not enough service. I want you to think very carefully about what's happening in Iran, what's happening in Cuba, what's happening all over the world, because that is a lesson for us. We never want to get to that critical moment. We never want to have our children or our grandchildren face that kind of tyranny from within. It's hard enough to defend ourselves from the enemies outside of our nation. We never want to try to defend ourselves from enemies within. I want you to think about that. Okay, so are all of you just as confused as I am about these vaccine mandates? Because I am so utterly confused about why, when we take the vaccine, we still have to wear the masks. And why now Fauci, remember Fauci was no mask, then one mask, then two masks, then maybe three masks. Remember that? Now it's one vaccine, two vaccine, three vaccine, we're protected. What the heck is going on here? Because the Delta variant, what they're not telling you, they're Delta variants, this variant, that variant, all these variants, right? What they're not saying to you is that, sure, you may get it a lot quicker, but it's not any more dangerous than what we dealt with COVID. And if you have a vaccine, you should be able to fight it off. Now, some people who have been vaccinated have been reinfected with COVID, but I think that's normal for all vaccines. And according to what I've been reading, not as drastic, it's not as drastic when you get COVID the second or third time around, if you've had the vaccine. So I'm trying to figure out what it is the government is doing here, because I've been talking to folks here in Texas, even on the plane, like where people are like, yeah, I've got my vaccination. I have no idea why I have to wear this mask. And I'm like, I'm the same way. We have no idea. We're just doing it. We're doing it because they're telling us, right? And now Biden is like forcing, you know, the federal workplace to get vaccinated. I don't think anybody should be forced to get vaccinated. But now Biden wants to force everyone, even though we know there are some real serious questions with this vaccine. Like right now, the CDC is actually looking at, is there any issue with sterilization and taking the vaccine? You know, if there's no children, the only children that have died of COVID, and this is tragic and sad and horrible, and no child should ever have to die, ever, for any reason, in my opinion. I think it's the worst thing that can happen because children are so amazing to me. But the children that have died of COVID have actually had mitigating circumstances. And I think I was watching Tucker Carlson last night. I'm not going to give you a number, but the numbers were low because I don't have that exact number in front of me, but I'm sure you can look it up. But one life is too many lives. But still, though, the children that have died have had extenuating mitigating circumstances, either cancer, very compromised immune systems. There was something going on. I don't want to see, you know, if a parent doesn't want their child to be vaccinated, I don't want to see the federal government, like me, trying to force me to vaccinate my child. I don't think the federal government or the federal workforce should be forced by Biden to be vaccinated. That is an individual's choice. Just because you work for the federal government doesn't mean they own you. And by the way, President Biden and that entire bureaucracy in Washington, D.C., that big swamp, is paid for by us, the taxpayers. We are the taxpayers. They work for us. I say this over and over again. They work for us. We do not work for them. And I think we need to make that perfectly clear. You know, I think we've lost control of this machine. I think the American people need to get back to what the founding fathers established and say, okay, guess what? No, that's not happening. You're going to answer my questions because my tax dollars are going to pay for those studies. Nope, not happening. Your job, Biden, is to protect our country's national security interests and every single American in this country. Get back to work, do your job, close the border first. I mean, it's amazing. They're not worried about that, right? I saw people crossing that border. They're being let go in La Jolla at Whataburger. At a Whataburger, somebody had to call the La Jolla Police Department because there was a family there. They were literally coughing. They didn't have masks on. Somebody wanted to see if they were okay. They went up. They found out they had COVID. And they were like, oh my gosh. So they call the police. They find out, the La Jolla Police Department out here in Texas along the border, that the hotels are filled with COVID patients. They have not been informed by the federal government. And people are being let go all across the nation. Do you think there might be a correlation between all the people crossing the border and the rise of COVID across these United States? And it's not just COVID we're worried about. What about other illnesses like multi-drug resistant tuberculosis and other issues that we're dealing with? Crime. I mean, I can go on and on and on. The government doesn't care. I've seen it with my own eyes. They're loading up the buses with people and they're just sending them away. And just like the stories that are breaking right now, where they're basically letting people go with an order to appear and no one's appearing, they're just going across the country. So when the federal government asks you to mask up and tells you that you have to be vaccinated, you need to turn around and ask your lawmakers and federal government, then why is the border wide open and why aren't you asking the same of them? Why aren't they? And they're not testing everyone across the border. It can't be right for us and wrong for them or vice versa. It makes no sense. It makes as much sense as the Confucius, Dr. Anthony Fauci. He is the most confusing man on the planet, but everyone seems to completely lift him up to some kind of status where we have to kind of abide by Fauci's crazy talk. We're not even allowed to question it. There is nothing worse than just giving up and giving in. You guys, we cannot give up. We cannot give in. We can't be afraid to ask the right questions. And by the way, I want to ask Nancy Pelosi, what the heck is going on Capitol Hill? Because the Republicans and everyone else is sick of it. They're sick of her. Right now, she is asking U.S. Capitol Police officers to arrest visitors and staff members who don't comply with her renewed COVID-19 mask mandate. Think about that. I mean, this is driving the Republicans crazy. And remember, some of them were fined. They're like, why do I need to wear, you know, my mask if I've been vaccinated? Same question. Let me read this to you. In a policy that further enraged critics, cops won't arrest people on the Senate side of the Capitol where masks remain voluntary. Think about that. So on the Senate side, you don't have to wear a mask if you don't want to. But if you go to Nancy's side, where Nancy's wall was on Capitol Hill in Congress in the Rayburn building, wherever you're at, you got to wear a mask. Local DC officials also have not reimposed a citywide mask mandate. It's just her. The bulletin for police officers says if a visitor or staff member fails to wear a mask after a request is made to do so, the visitor or staff member shall be denied entry into the House office buildings or on the House side of the U.S. Capitol. Any person who fails to either comply or leave the premises, get this, after being asked to do so, would be subject to an arrest for unlawful entry. Welcome to America, folks. This is wrong. This is wrong. It is insane. I hope the Republicans stand up to this, and I hope Democrats stand up to this and say no more. This is a power grab, and this is what they are doing across the nation. We have to open up our eyes. We have to say no more, or they better start answering our questions. Our children should not live as prisoners. We should not live as prisoners, and we should not be threatened by these ridiculous mandates being issued by these leftist Democrats that have absolutely no bearing, and they won't even help us, by the way. According to anybody who knows anything, if you've got a vaccine, that should be it. So now you got to start asking yourself why. In fact, I think all of you who are listening to this podcast should contact Nancy Pelosi's office and ask her where her medical credentials are from. And then ask her why people have to mask up on her side of the house. Again, thank you so much for being a part of the Sarah Carter Show. I know today was a shorter one. We're going to get back. We have a lot of really incredible guests coming up on this show next week. And I'm not going to tell you who they are right now. I'm going to surprise you. It's going to be incredible. You're not going to regret it if you join me next week. And remember, you can follow me on Twitter, on Instagram. You can find all those links at sarahacarter.com. That's sarahacarter.com. And don't forget to download and subscribe to the Sarah Carter Show podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. Thank you so much for being a part of the show. God bless you, and God bless our great nation. Frank Ziller, I am so happy to actually meet you. Tunnel to Towers is a foundation that I am so proud being a sponsor for the Sarah Carter Show. So thank you so much. You know, when I read the spots, I'm looking at the stories of how the foundation started. I'm so moved. What was it that made you realize, you know, we've got to do something. We've got to give something back.
Well, my brother, 20 years ago, on September 11, 2001, when he gave his life up while saving others, you know, New York City firefighter that runs through a tunnel, the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, with 60 pounds of gear on his back, gets through that tunnel, goes up West Street into that South Tower and goes up those stairs. And along with the 343 firefighters, 60 police officers and so many others, he gives up his life. We needed to make sure that that sacrifice and that story was not forgotten. So that's why we decided to do the foundation. He was the youngest of seven. We raised him. My parents died by the time he was 10 years old. So he has an unbelievable story of how he recovered from his own losses. And he realized that every day in life was precious. And he lived it that way. So he died the way he lived, serving others.
T2T.org. That's T2T.org. It's only $11 a month. It's up to every single one of us to do our part to help those that were willing to give everything to protect us and our families.